I'm going to tell you this. Part three. In seeing the urgency of what needs to be done, and recognizing my responsibility as a Christian, not only just as a teacher or a minister, that taking stock thing I was talking about that needs to be done in the church, I've been doing it as an individual. And you know what? We all need to do that. Everybody in here needs to take that test of faith, as Paul said, right? We need an individual taking stock. You know what I've determined to do? Every morning when I get up to pray, you know what I do? I tell God, I proclaim to God what it is I'm sure of. And I say, and Lord, if I'm missing it, please show me. But this is what I'm sure of. You know, I go through it all. I'm sure that Jesus is the one sacrifice for sin. I'm positive of that. I know that Jesus is the only way to God, and no one, nobody gets there to God unless they go through Jesus. That Jesus is the one God sent. I know that Jesus was both God and man. I know that Jesus was the only man that ever pleased God. I know that this is why God's law judged him as righteous. I know for a fact that I have no righteousness of my own. I'm dependent upon his. Because if I did have any righteousness of my own, he wouldn't have had to die. I know me, left up to myself and my own desires, am nothing but a miserable sinner. Only because he looked to Christ ahead of time through the sacrifice, Pastor Ernestine. I'm telling you, no man ever pleased God apart from Christ, ever. And the Bible tells us that. What was that all about when they made a sacrifice? From Noah all the way down. The sacrifice was always a picture of Christ. Without the shedding of blood, Pastor Ernestine, is there a forgiveness of sin? Put it that simple. Without the shedding of blood, is there forgiveness of sin? Right. So every man of faith that found forgiveness and pleased God did it through the sacrifice, the shedding of blood, which was what? Christ. There is no faith apart from Christ, and there never was. Whether it was just the rumor of Christ or the foreshadowing of Christ, it was still through Christ. It tells us of Abraham that the gospel was announced to him 430 years in advance. And it tells us that nobody comes to the Father except through Christ. Now, part of that taking stock of myself. I'm sure, God, that you're supernatural. I'm sure. I'm not dependent on any program I can come up with or any kind of persuasion that I can put over on people to get them to do things that I think they should do. I'm not dependent on what other people do to support me or not support me. I'm dependent upon you, God. You choose in how and who you work through. But it's you that supplies. My dependence is upon you. I'm not dependent upon any Bible school minister or any other man for revelation. I walk by revelation of Jesus Christ through the scriptures by the Spirit. Again, what God has supplied. I believe that to truly truly know God, you have to have the Holy Ghost living in you. And you must learn obedience. I believe that suffering is intrinsic to the gospel. That anybody who receives Jesus not only is going to receive the blessings of the eternal life as he's promised, but also must share in his sufferings to see that happen. Again, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. I believe that the scriptures were inspired of God, not men. That every man who wrote the scriptures, the Holy Ghost was working through them. I believe that the same Spirit that wrote it is the same Spirit that reveals it. And I believe that we can all have the Holy Ghost dwelling in us if we'll just receive what is offered and submit ourselves. I believe that there's no such thing as a person that we should automatically reject. They need Jesus. I have yet to find a person I'm better than, or one that's better than me. We are all the children of Adam, and in order to go on, we must all become the children of God. Jesus is what was given to us for that to happen. And I also believe that was always God's plan. You know, if I sit down every day and I take stock of the things that I'm sure of, I'm sure of the promise of the resurrection. The hope of the gospel. I'm sure that God is able to do everything he claims. And I have a deposit of his Spirit that is a guarantee that he will do it if I continue in faith. That proclamation, it takes stock of where you're at. Because you begin to reason within that proclamation of prayer. If this is true, and this is true, and that's true, then what is it that's hindering me? What is it that's in the way that's keeping me back? What is it that's keeping me down, man? When all of these things are true, and all of these things are pluses, and when I know for sure that that is what I believe, and it causes you to examine your life, do you really believe this? Because when you proclaim it to God, he's going to ask you, oh, you do believe in that? I say, God, I believe in obedience. You go, okay. How about when I call you to prayer when you're really doing something you want to do? You going to be obedient? Oh, yeah. I believe in obedience, Lord. Okay. Are you going to be accountable to your brothers and sisters? Because I work through them too, you know. Or are you going to just be the Lone Ranger? You see what I'm saying? Every one of these proclamations will bring up things in your heart and in your mind. And God will test you on these. Not because he doesn't know what you're going to do, because you don't know what you're going to do. But you know what? This is also a way that helps establish these things. Forever. And that way there's nobody that can come up behind that, behind you and God and say, well, this is different. And you say, no, it's too late for that. I've already heard from God. It's too late for that. It's too late, devil, for you to come and kind of confuse me. I'm sure. God has went with me in my heart and mind, and he's shown me the acts that I have behind my faith that show that I believe this is true. Say, I believe people need to hear the gospel? There's me witnessing. I believe people need prayer? There's me praying. I believe people need help? There's me giving. I believe God wants me to do that? There's me doing this. You know, it's never just words. It's never just, I believe it. For everything you believe, there's an action that corresponds with that. Faith without works is, you know, just like Paul said, is dead. Faith without works is like a spirit without a body. You got to give body to your faith. You got to give hands and feet to your faith. You see what I'm saying? How many of you understand that? Because God is never going to settle for just you say you believe. See, submission is taking your body into submission to obey God. It's not just saying in your heart, I submit. How did Jesus show it? He went to the cross. He gave his hands and feet to his faith. He trusted God, and he let them nail him, and he didn't have to. He let them nail them to a board. His hands and feet. He gave hands and feet to his faith. There's no such thing as faith without action, without demonstration, without manifestation. Your faith will always be manifested, made known, through what you do, not just what you say. And you learn that. That's all a part of discipleship. Who we are is not just what we say, it's what we do. And that's every day. The daily sacrifice isn't something that they sacrifice in the temple with the Levites. The daily sacrifice is what you lay on the altar every day, yourself. Your hands and your feet and your mind and your lips and your tongue and your eyes for his service. Your heart. And you can't just say, I sacrifice this to you. You've got to actually take it and lay it on the altar every day. This is what Paul means, I die every day. So you got to take stock in yourself. Everything that's true in the body, corporately, it's got to be true individually. You've got to take stock and submit yourself to God, just like it's got to be in the body to get back on the right track, right? To find out where you are. Because there's no sense in you worrying about where the church is if you don't know where you're at, right? If you're not sure where it is that you're at and who it is you serve and what it is you belong to and what it is you're about, then what can you expect from the church? Come on. But corporately and individually, this is what's got to happen. It's time to come together and humble ourselves, corporately and individually, and make God first. Because it's now time to put things in order. It's time to build God's house. And the glory of the latter-day house will be greater than that of the former.